Music from Larnell Harris, his song 3 Days Blind from what's called the David Project. That's an album that was put out several years ago. A lot of the really well-known Christian artists got together, put out the album, and this was Larnell Harris's contribution. Good song, 3 Days Blind. Mary Catherine sang for us, Child, I Love You, and it's 11 minutes after the hour on our Broken Road Radio Monday morning. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, good morning.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Dave.
Morning, Jim. Morning, John. Yeah, how you doing?
How do you like David's shirt? How do you like David's shirt there? Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, it is, yes. I got to get me one of those.
Well, I thought you'd like, because you and he both have a closet full, apparently, of Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
This one's got the kind of the feathers. They kind of look like eagle feathers.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know? And you know, this is the one I wore over to the Indian casino last week.
Uh-oh.
And as I'm in the car driving over there, I'm saying, I wonder if I should have worn a different shirt.
Did you get any strange looks?
No, I didn't. Well, in fact,
David's used to strange looks, though. That always happens.
Yeah, I get strange looks all the time. But I mean, I went into the area, into the it was the gaming authority area. And there are no Indians there, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
but they've contracted there.
They're all contracted, and it's almost like they require them to have no Indians on the team. But nobody said anything, and nobody said, no, okay. I think that's a sacred eagle feather.
Mm-hmm.
You could run for tribal council.
Dave's thinking of running for office again. I knew it. Didn't want to see that happen. Dr. Don is a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and brings us interesting material to talk about. We've talked often about genetically engineered foods. We've talked about science and faith controversies and creation versus evolution. And today we're going to talk movies. This is your first movie review, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's on. It's an evolution. The name of the movie is Evolution versus God, and it just came out not too long ago.
Sounds kind of like a cage match, doesn't it?
It sounds like what?
Like a cage match.
Oh, yes. Yes. We can discuss the movie.
Well, yeah, you've seen it. No, I've not seen it because there is a website. It's from the Living Waters website. And it's a Ray Comfort project. Presumably, does he preach? Does he teach in the movie, Don?
Well, the movie is actually interviews with college students and professors who profess to believe in evolution, and he's the narrator, and he's asking the college students or the professors various pointed questions. Some they can answer and some they can't. So it's pretty intriguing, and he does a masterful job of leading these folks kind of down the path of you know what, there's just not a lot of basis to evolution, and you have to what you're basically saying is that you just believe in evolution. Now, you have problems believing in God, but you have no problems believing in evolution. And so that's kind of the tenet of the movie. It's really not a long movie. It's only 38 minutes long. And you can find the movie. It's a project by Living Waters. And you can find the movie, Evolution versus God, on their website. But it's very, very much well worth seeing. And having your teenage, if you have any teenage kids or any kids in your house at all, it's definitely worth watching it with them.
Now, have you seen The Truth Project, Don?
Yes, I have.
How do the two compare? Now, The Truth Project is a much longer series of sessions, of learning sessions. This is much shorter, but similar feel?
There is some similarity, especially the creation side of it, although The Truth Project goes into much more detail, let's say about facts, for example, mm-hmm. Than does Ray Comfort. I mean, Ray is really, really challenging the folks that he's talking to really think critically. Now, the interesting thing is that he's got one of the fellows, elderly man, not too elderly, he's probably our age, that he interviews. He purports to be have been set free from the confinements of thinking about religion, and so he's adopted evolution, and that's what really has set him free. And now he's a thinking man. But when you go through the series of questions, the first one is, you know, do you believe in evolution? And you know, they all say yes, I believe in evolution. Now they don't realize what they're saying, because by the fact that they say yes, I believe in evolution, they're saying that, you know, gee, it's by faith that I believe in evolution. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting film from that point of view. The Truth Project is really a teaching tool, and there's not much dialogue going back and forth. Although on the creation, like on the creation side, there is.
Well, that's true. The Truth Project is like a college classroom, and Del Tackett, the professor. And it takes you through I think it's a series of, what, 8, 10, 12 DVDs. And it, by the way, if you've never done it out there, I'd recommend it highly. It's a wonderful production with lots of good information. It can not only help you kind of pick up the pieces of your faith and help you find a direction, but it also equips you to deal with people who don't believe. And I'm thinking this evolution versus God video, which is now not fully released yet. Is it, Don? It's going to be out soon?
Well, you can download it off their website.
Oh, you can get it, okay.
Yes, so you can get it, and it's kind of like a pre-release. They will be releasing it on DVD, and mm-hmm. their goal, Living Water's goal, is actually to try to give it to every college student, I guess in America, maybe around the world. I'm not sure how large their project is, but they're trying to raise money by... you know, and selling, if you will, their the pre-release downloadable version of the film. But you'll be able to get the DVD. I think the DVD price is going to be like something like $5 a copy.
Yeah, I think it's $5. Right now they're asking for a contribution, essentially, of $19.99 or $20 in order to download this, because it was quite an expensive project, as you'll see. I'll have the link up with this conversation on our audio archives a little later this morning. But it's livingwaters.com. You could search for it and just put in evolution versus God, VS period. It should bring up their video page where you can actually see a little trailer of it. My concern, Don, is this, that getting into the hands of non-believers or getting into the hands of proponents of evolution, believers in evolution, people who assume that this is just basic fact, is a tall order. Why do they want to go look at something that's going to disabuse them of their notions of evolution? It's kind of the same problem that a believer encounters when trying to go talk about Jesus or about his faith. It's like, who wants to hear it? Who wants to hear that they've been wrong?
Well, it's not a series of facts that's being presented. It's a series of probing questions to the folks that are being interviewed, and Ray Comfort does a, like I said, a masterful job of logically leading them to not only the conclusion that. You know, their belief in evolution is truly a belief, and it's not founded in facts. But then he goes the next step further and presents an alternative to evolution, which you would think would be creation, but it's not. It's the gospel message. So the good, maybe 10 or 15, 10 minutes probably, end of the movie has them engaged in a discussion about you know, there's a savior and he loves you and God loves you and you're not just another animal and you have value, those type of things. And the interesting thing that I found about the interview, I mean, he's they're obviously recording the reaction of the people that he's talking to, and the young folks are extremely engaged at this point, and intently listening to the gospel message, which is very encouraging, because what Ray has done, at least for us Christians who have a belief in creation, is giving us kind of a role model, if you will, or a mechanism by which to engage our young folks in conversations about evolution, and then helping them to bring them along and show them that their belief is kind of not founded.
Well, it seems to expose logical fallacies in the belief, and I think that's good. And I suspect that young people will be more open to seeing this and doing battle with it maybe than older folk. But I think there's another audience that might find this especially interesting and valuable, and that would be a rather large group of Christians, professing Christians, who say they also believe in evolution. And I would think they would have a keen interest in this.
Well, I would think so too, because it obviously exposes some of the premises of evolution. And when Ray Comfort, for example, gets to the point where he says, "Okay, well, give me some evidence. You say that you believe in evolution. Give me some evidence for evolution." And he goes through the process of saying, well, the scientific method is you observe, basically the universe around you. You come up with a hypothesis or a guess, as we've talked about before on this show, and then you you test your hypothesis against observable facts. So show me the evidence for evolution. And all of the evidence let's put it this way, the only evidence that can be given is for what's called microevolution, or variation on a kind or
within a species, yeah.
Within a species, or in quote, speciation, which is just variation on a kind, and or adaptation to an environmental stimulus of one form or another. So some of the students are able to let's say, talk about Darwin's Galapagos finches and the different sizes and beaks. But Ray comes back and he says, well, they're still finches. They're still birds. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, yes. And he says, well, give me an example of one kind of animal changing into another kind of animal. And they're forced to admit that, well, that's impossible. And so it's quite quite educational, quite in some cases, and I mean, it's I would say almost humorous, but it is helps them, the people that he's interviewing, at least come to the realization that, well, maybe what I thought was actually true and really founded in science is not so founded in science.
Might watching this video provide viewers, Christian viewers, with a logical attack to take with people around the water cooler when talking about things like evolution and faith and creationism?
Oh, very much so, because he goes through very logical steps. I mean, one question leads to the next question, and he does it in a very respectful way, and I think that's one of the keys to being able to reach people. We can't be belligerent. We can't be attacking someone because they have a different point of view or a different belief. But we have to be respectful of the other person. And which he is. He's very respectful. And at the end, when he's presenting the gospel, of course, he's very loving and is trying to expose them to the truth.
Well, and I think that's one of the ways you can distinguish a nutcase from a real Christian, too, because if they're changed people, they don't bludgeon you to death.
Exactly.
They can be passionate without being ugly. And that's so important. We've got so many people professing to be Christians out there beating people over the head that gives us, the rest of us, a bad name and makes it very hard to go out into public and talk about Jesus. That's an even deeper problem than evolution versus God. It's the whole way we interface with the world, and that's a fit topic for discussion too. Don, I wanted to ask you about another topic here. And by the way, just for those of you listening who might want to catch the podcast later, there will be a link to this video page at the livingwaters.com website when I post our morning conversation on our website on brokenroadradio.com. But Don, we had news this week of Monsanto. They've been trying to market GMO products in Europe for years, and apparently they've given up trying, huh?
Well, that's what the news article is all about, that they have saying they are abandoning their efforts to try to get to any genetically modified products, products or plants or seeds into the European Union. So, you know, this again is cause for us over here to say, hey, if Europe is banning this or not allowing these products to come into the marketplace, why are we? Because they have intelligent folks over there. They have good scientists over there. What do their scientists know that we don't, that we're not being told over here?
Well, who's paying attention? I mean, it made news, which is interesting to me. It's a short story. It's a brief story. It just says they've given up their efforts to market their products in the European Union, the EU. I'm wondering how much did anybody hear? Dave, did you hear that picked up on national news in the major media? No.
The story also was published on the BBC website. And I'm sure the BBC, the live broadcast, ran it a couple of times. I've not heard it on American television or AP. Might be an interesting website search. We'll see if we can bring it up. But I've not seen it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's not there. But
how do we look at? And this is you don't need to be a biochemist to answer this, Don, but. But how do we see Europeans? Do we really give them credit? I mean, they've been actually ahead of us in some areas of technology. I think of internet broadcasting and satellites and communications for a long time. It's not like that they're living in caves over there. Do we give them credit?
Well, I think in this case they're right. I mean,
I do too. But the point is, socially, do Americans look at Europeans and say? This is something we can take seriously and look up to. I mean, there have been competing views on drugs, and our FDA versus whatever their organizations are, and drug approval and cheap drugs and medicines and so forth for years. And there's all been discrepancies in other areas of technology. This is one thing where I think they've got it right, and I'd like us to listen. And I'm not sure we take them seriously.
Well, yeah. I think it's mainly because we've got a media block to any anything that is contrary to the American belief or the way that some American companies do business. I don't really think that folks have a negative bias necessarily against European scientists or regulators. Maybe we should, but. I don't think that there is, at least in the scientific realm, when I was dealing with the folks over in Europe, some groups of people thought they were far superior than others, which was disgusting to me. But other than
why would that be? Why would you react that way? Because that might be exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe not just in the realm of science, but in politics and religion and medicine, maybe we've gotten a little uppity. But if you look at history, that's where most of the great discoveries came from. And we think of technology and building and engineering over here, but a lot of the basic science is done over there.
Well, and just basic rocketry came from European German scientists. So
and nuclear power came from England and from Germany. And from Niels Bohr, for example, from Scandinavia.
I've got a feeling that the reason that this particular story wasn't covered in this country is it has much more to do with the federal government and the FDA, and it's kind of almost acceptance of genetically modified organisms, and approval of Monsanto doing what it's doing, and the connection between that. And we love big government, and we think big government's really wonderful, and we'd like to have even more big government and more control over the population. That it's the belief that the generalized media, the large media, and many journalists, I don't know if it's in their genetic makeup or if they somehow buy into that for no particular reason. At the same time, they also think that the socialism that's rampant in Europe is a wonderful thing. But they don't accept the notion that the Europeans know anything about genetically modified organisms. That doesn't seem to be a big stretch for me, you know, thinking in the minds of a working journalist in this country, particularly if you look at any local media. I'd be shocked and surprised if any of the local TV stations ran a story about Monsanto not getting their way on anything, unless they were sued and they lost the case. But you know, I'm not sure if and most of the local media knows what a genetically modified organism is,
mm-hmm.
much less the dangers involved. But if they did understand it, they would probably say, "Well, if the FDA and my favorite government official said it's okay, it must be good."
You know, I'm thinking too about this Norwegian study of genetically modified corn and soybeans that came out. It took about 10 years to complete. Showed some alarming trends in the population who has to eat genetically modified corn and soybeans, and it was pretty well squelched. I mean, no one talked about it in the major media.
Yeah, that was an AP story that was picked up in AP.
It was gone. It was gone overnight, though.
Yeah, it didn't get any traction. Nobody picked it up after that. There's a story on AP News Archive and back in about 12 years ago about the Norwegian study, and there was a story in AP. Well, this is 03 now about the biotech crop rules, and its decision not to accept it then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the Monsanto story, but there's a lot of stories, 9 pages of stories that the AP has run, you know, having to do with mm-hmm. with GMOs. So
well, and Don, so you know, and David, I'm talking to a local organic farmer, who is thinking about coming on the air with us, and talking to us about the obstacles that he faces in getting his product to market, the rules and regulations.
I would love to.
And I've got to tell you though that he's a little hesitant, and he's praying about it, because he said he is running a risk. And I'm telling him, well, you know, we don't need to mention your name, we don't have to get specific about your farm or the location or anything, but he said he wants to pray about it. But he thinks we're doing a great thing by talking about this issue, and I think we'll continue to do that, because it's food for us. I mean, it involves the gospel. It involves you know, Christian thought and behavior. It involves science. It's kind of what we're about here at Broken Road Radio. So we'll pursue this some more. Hopefully, within a week or two, we'll have Farmer John Doe on with us. Although I hope he'll consent to using his name, because I'd like to attract attention with this and get people looking at it and seeing how silly this whole setup is. At least in my humble opinion.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I'd love to ask him some questions myself.
Well,
we are trying, not successfully yet, to grow our grapes in a more mm-hmm. organic way than using chemical warfare.
Well, he seems to be very familiar with the obstacles that at least the state of Minnesota has put in his way, and the cautions and the precautions he has to make to do what he does. For something that is essentially, there's just nothing wrong with it,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's the organic getting certified organic foods is a regulatory nightmare, as is most things. Mm. So Anyway, I found another interesting aspect to this article regarding to Monsanto. The last sentence refers to a German company, BASF, that they have actually halted their development of genetically modified crops in Europe.
Now that's a German company.
And guess where they have moved their operation?
Well, here.
Yeah, exactly. They've moved their operation to the United States.
You go where the customers are.
Yeah, so we are. There's another big company who is, you know, trying to make money in this area and can't do it in, you know, in a big region, and has moved to the United States so that they can get a share of this genetically modified business.
Okay, very interesting, and we'll continue to pursue this topic, and hopefully we can get that farmer on with us within the next couple of weeks. I kind of think we'll be doing that. I kind of feel like it's going to go that way. It should be fascinating. Once again, this Evolution versus God video is at Living Waters. That's one word, livingwaters.com. And again, we'll provide a link to that on our website under Audio Archives. You just go up to that tab at the top of BrokenRoadRadio.com, Audio Archives. Look for Dr. Don's name. A little drop-down menu of our podcast library will appear. And Dr. Don's name is up there. Click on that, and you'll find it at the top of the list. And
Don, before you sound like you're wrapping up, Jim. Don, before you take off, another question about the movie, the Evolution versus God movie. After these supposed experts have gone through the questioning and the probing and the kind of trading information, did anybody exhibit an aha moment? Did anybody say, "Oh, that's right"?
Well, they didn't necessarily express that, except for one of the kids actually said, "Well, yeah, I've kind of been thinking about that." So he did admit that when Ray Comfort actually presents kind of the gospel message in a very clear and distinct way. He actually, you know, admitted that, well, yeah, there might be something to what you're saying. It's also, like I said, the other kids, the other young adults, were kind of taken aback in a good way. You know, because they were definitely, you could see that they were definitely listening, and it almost was like an aha moment without them saying aha. It was like, the expression on their face was like, gee, no one has told me this before.
Yeah,
which is encouraging, really. I really found it encouraging.
Sounds encouraging, and looks like a video well worth seeing and maybe learning from and employing some of those techniques ourselves as we talk to people outside the church. Don, thanks very much as always. Appreciate having you around, and we'll look forward to next Monday. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Take care. Music from Rob and Mark on a Broken Road Radio Monday morning.